All right. So I wish you could see the board, but there's an awful glare on it, and so you can't really see this, but we got Roger going first, Lorenzo going second, Super Dave going third, and Josh Bantam going fourth. And we don't know who's going fifth, so you decide, okay? It's Proverbs chapter 8, verse 34 and 35. So if you're up for it, you're after Josh. Kendall, is the small shotgun the 20 gauge? Yeah? Is that what Damien's got into the... Okay. You guys been getting the 20 gauge shotgun preaching around here. Because these guys get... I forgot my other announcement. Dallas. This is the fifth Sunday of the month. So we do shotgun preaching Sunday night. So instead of getting one guy up here, we're going to get five guys up here for 5 minutes. I should have told you five guys for an hour each and then seen the look on your face, Katrina. Fourth Sunday. Wait. What? Well, yeah, okay. So we did it on the fourth Sunday this month because we're doing our picnic in the park next week. There's so many good things going on right now. Okay, so... you guys have been getting the 20-gauge shotgun preaching around here because these guys get their verse ahead of time. Okay? So today is more like 12-gauge shotgun. All right? Four of these guys got their verses today around 4 or 5 o'clock. But, yeah, you fill in the fifth. So, you know, don't read Proverbs 8 the whole 20 minutes while these guys are going. Okay? You can glance at it and... you come on up and fill it in. And my goal is to get us to the 10-gauge shotgun preaching where the verses are in a hat and you just come on up and you pull your verse out of the hat and give us some shotgun preaching. So, Roger, come on up.
So when I see the term daily, it makes me think it's something you do often, or at least you should. I've never been good at keeping plants alive. Know why? I don't really care about them. And if you don't care about something, you're not going to put the thought and the effort in to keeping it going. Right? Right now on my... whatever you want to call it where I live on my parents' farm in our own place. We have about 30 animals. So we've gotten pretty good at taking care of animals. And there's one animal on that farm in particular that I care a lot about, and that's our horse. And I've gotten pretty good at making sure he stays alive. You know? And last week he got bit by a rattlesnake. I was concerned. I was looking after him in the middle of the night, getting up, checking on him, you know, taking him where he needed to go, getting him the medicine he needed to get, because I was concerned for his health. And if you love something, if you are care for it, you will be concerned and you will check up on it often. Our text, let's turn over there, 2 Corinthians 11:28. I'm going to just keep reading because I don't got much time. But apart from such external things, there is a daily pressure upon me of concern for all the churches. Who is weak without me being weak? Who is led into sin without my intense concern? Now, I'm going to encourage and I'm going to, let's say, spur some of us on here. Because I'm going to use a couple examples here. And there's been times I've had conversations with people that have been in this church for several years. And I bring a name up and they're like, who? There's a problem with that. If I'm talking to you and you've been in this church for more than 6 months and you don't know who I'm talking about, you're not doing your job properly. Because sit here tonight, we got a few new faces, but I know everybody's name. And this morning, I knew everybody's name. Now, I'm not trying to brag on myself, but it's because I care. I'm concerned with the health of the body. Okay? So there's two things. There's either concern or there's excuse. And those people that have been here for a couple years that don't know the name, they got an excuse. Okay? But I'm going to brag on somebody for a minute. His name's Josh Bantam. His family moved here, and in 6 months, half of the congregation had been to their house. Because that guy doesn't have no excuses. He's concerned about the body. Concern or excuse? See, if we care about something, we're going to be checking up on people. We're going to know what's going on. There's been other times I've been talking to somebody and they're like, they lost their job? And I said, yeah, 6 months ago. I didn't know that. Why didn't you know it? It's because you're not concerned. You're not concerned with the health of the body. You would know. Now, there's another group of people that want to know everything for their own gain. Gossip, that's wrong. But if you're truly concerned, you may not know everybody's business, but you're looking for that opportunity on who you can help and how you can help. 1 minute. So you start somewhere, you know, and there's this thing too. If you're sour towards people in the body, it's probably because you're not concerned and you're not involved and you're not trying to help. Because once, you see this in children pretty often, you do things for them and what do they want? They want something else. And then you do that for them and they want something else. But if you do something for somebody else and you do that again for somebody else, soon your mind's not on yourself anymore. Your concern is for your brethren. Your love is for your brethren. My encouragement to us is no excuses. Let's have concern for the health of the body.
Please turn over in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 15. Does the 5 minutes start before or after I finish reading?
After, get going.
Okay. 1 Corinthians 15, we'll do verse 31. I affirm, brethren, by the boasting in you which I have in Christ Jesus, our Lord, I die daily. There were numerous different ways I thought about approaching this particular scripture. I would be here all night. You could preach multiple different messages on this. But I thought it would be good to look a little bit ahead in the passage and to understand a little bit what's being said. It talks about Christ's resurrection. And that if Christ wasn't raised from the dead, then we wouldn't be. And then our whole message would be in vain. And he's pointing to the significance of the power of Christ. And it does play a big role in our lives. Let's go on over to Galatians chapter 2. Verse 20, we all probably know this one. It says, I have been crucified with Christ. And it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. Let's go back on over to 1 Corinthians 15, though. Paul says, the life I live in the flesh is not mine anymore. Philippians, and I brought this up recently, and he says that, you know, to die is gain. You know, that's a good thing. But to live is Christ. He said, basically, paraphrasing, I'm in subjection to whatever my master calls me to do. If he takes me, amen. If he leaves me here, guess what? I'm going to live daily for him. Earlier in 1 Corinthians 15, it actually talks about being baptized for the dead. Now, 1 Corinthians 15 is one of those passages that a lot of people go way off track. And I don't have a whole lot of time to cover that, but really what is being said is that he's suffering for those who are spiritually dead. A suffering. And that's what, and he follows that up and he's saying that I die daily. And I did mention this in a recent message, Galatians, he talks about, I labor until Christ is formed in you. He had constant concern for the churches. And I didn't want to step on too many other verses, and I saw that and I was like, whoa. But, you know, Jesus and Paul, they both had two things in common. They both lived what they taught. He said, I die daily. What was ever going to hold Paul back? You know, if Paul said he was going to be here, I mean, unless the Spirit pushed him a different way, but you knew he was going to be here, right? Do we know, do other people know that they can count on us spiritually? Are we going to be there for them? Are we laying down our lives, our desires, everything that we want to help other people, to be concerned with the church? Paul, stoned, drug outside of the city. They were supposing he was dead. What does he do? Gets back up, walks back over, starts preaching, goes to another place, and then he comes right back. And he's preaching again. What kind of commitment does that show? So when he says that I die daily, it was real. I mentioned that we'll go back to 1 Corinthians 15. And I really wanted to use that Luke 9, but I won't. I read a good, it's a really good book, but there's a saying out of there. It's discipleship, and really it's true discipleship, has not been tried and left wanting, but it has been found difficult and often not tried. Many people realize the call of the gospel, and they say, wow, that means I have to humble myself. That means that I lay down my life. Remember, Jesus said, greater love is, there's nothing greater you can do than to lay down your life for your friends. Right? The best thing you can do is lay down your life. That's the greatest show of love. And that's what Jesus did. But I want to make this really practical. He goes on and he talks about bad company corrupts good morals. Verse 34, become sober-minded as you ought and stop sinning, for some have no knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. But someone will say, how are the dead raised? And with what kind of body do they come? You fool, that which you sow does not come to life unless it dies. We know the principle well. And Roger brought up plants, and I was thinking about this. Unless the seed dies, you know, you plant that seed into the ground, it has to die before fruit can come abundantly. And that's really, Jesus was a great example of that. Paul was a great example of that. Let us lay down our lives. Let us also say that we die daily. Thank you.
Good evening. Turn your Bibles over to Acts chapter 17. I'm going to read verse 11. I'm going to actually start in verse 10. The brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. And when they arrived, they went into the synagogues of the Jews. Now these were more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica, for they received the word with great eagerness, examining scriptures daily to see whether these things were so. That's one thing we'll find about Paul. He knew the scriptures, the Old Testament in particular, because the New Testament wasn't written yet. But he devoted himself to Christ and to Christ's likeness and doing what was right according to Christ. Let's turn over to Colossians chapter 4 and read verse 2 and 3. Devote yourself to prayer, keeping alert in it, with an attitude of thanksgiving, praying at the same time for us as well, that God will open up to us a door for the word, so that we may speak forth the mystery of Christ, for which I have also been imprisoned. Paul thought nothing of his own life. He would do whatever it took to preach God's word. And that's one thing that we need to take it into consideration and learn from. It's not something that he just read through the scriptures once. He read through them daily. Let's turn back over to Ephesians chapter 6. It's a section we all know very well. Starts in verse 10, talks about putting on the full armor of God and shodding your feet, that way you can stand against the schemes of the devil. I'm going to pick it up in verse 15. Having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, in addition to all, taking up the shield of faith, with which you'll be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. That's not something you're going to learn just once a week at morning assembly. You got to get into the Word daily in order to understand that. And to me, that's what, you know, doing something daily, making it a routine habit. As Mr. Wilson would say, practice makes permanent. Perfect practice makes perfect. And with that, that's what we need to keep into consideration at all times. You know, pick up your Bible daily. Do a daily reading plan if you don't. It's an easy way to secure your salvation, to take the word to people that don't know, to be the shining light. That's the only way you're going to be the shining light, is to pick up that word daily. If you don't, your light's not going to be that bright. You got to be able to know what it says. With that, you'll also know false doctrine when it comes around. So with Paul's encouragement, with my encouragement, do your daily reading. Thank you.
Good evening. Everyone hear me good? Good problems this morning with my positioning here. Good? All right. So let's go ahead and start off in Luke chapter 9, verse 23. And he was saying to them all, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake, he is the one who will save it. For what is a man profited if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself? There's a few points here I want to bring out. Denying yourself, picking up your cross, and following Jesus. So what does deny yourself mean? What does it look like? Kind of an easy answer is to deny the sinful flesh. But let's pop down to verse 57 of Luke 9. As they were going along the road, someone said to him, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, the foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. So this section here has three people that are talking to Jesus, and they're telling him that they're going to follow him. And kind of in my opinion here, Jesus responds with something that they don't want to hear. So this guy says, I want to follow you wherever you go. And Jesus' response, the foxes have holes, birds have nests, but Jesus has nowhere to go. Some people are pretty accustomed to having a bed, sheets, pillow, blankets. But what about here? Sometimes it can be a stumbling block if you have to give up comfort. Tonight, you might have a bundle of hay. Tomorrow, you might have a dirt mound. Just kick it before you lay down to make sure it's not an anthill. But are you willing to give up the comfort to follow God? Verse 59. And he said to another, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, permit me first to go and bury my father." But he said to him, "Allow the dead to bury their own dead, but as for you, go and proclaim everywhere the kingdom of God." So this guy is saying, before I follow you, let me go bury my father. What's wrong with burying the dead? What's wrong with this statement here? Lord, permit me first. Put me before following you. It's a stumbling block. Verse 61. Another also said, "I will follow you, Lord, but first permit me to say goodbye to those at home." Again, what's wrong with going home to say bye to the household? It's, Lord, permit me first. Put me before following you. Verse 62. But Jesus said to him, "No one, after putting his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God." So we talked about Exodus this morning, and that, Israel, when they were following Moses and they first got to the Red Sea, their response was, were there not enough graves in Egypt for you to bring us out here to die by Pharaoh's army? And after the Red Sea, where Pharaoh was no longer a threat, their response was, "We had food in Egypt. Did you bring us out here to starve to death?" Israel kept looking back to Egypt, to slavery. Deny ourselves daily so we don't go back to Egypt. Pick up the cross daily. What is that? I kind of picture Jesus carrying his cross up the hill. But what's happening here is Jesus is accomplishing God's will. Not my will. Not me first. Through the physical act, Jesus was pleasing to God. It's an act of service. Can be a sacrifice. Could be displeasing to the flesh. How about praying without ceasing? Hebrews 13 tells us the sacrifice of praise. Fruit of the lips that acknowledges his name. Helping our neighbor. Telling or teaching our neighbor about Jesus. Romans 12 tells us that we are to be a living sacrifice. Holy, pleasing to God, a spiritual sacrifice. A spiritual service. In Ephesians chapter 4, this is the we're being explained about the liar, the thief, and essentially a negativist, someone who's tearing someone down. To deny the flesh is to stop lying. To pick up your cross is to tell the truth. The thief, for stop stealing, is to deny yourself, to work and to give to those who are in need, or to pick up the cross. To the negativists, to stop tearing down is to deny yourself, to build someone up or to edify them is to pick up the cross. The cross is a works pleasing to God. So we deny ourselves daily so we can effectively pick up our cross daily, offering a sacrifice or a service that's pleasing to God, and in doing so, we follow Jesus. Thank you.
So I got a lot of respect for you guys who are up here. This is really tough to do. You get up here, you know, it gets hot. You feel like fainting, but you still got to stand up and talk to everybody and look at everybody. So my voices are Proverbs 8:34 through 35. I'm going to read 36 as well. Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at my doorpost. For he who finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. But he who sins against me injures himself, and all those who hate me love death. Our God has proven that he is able and capable of doing everything that he says he is going to do. It's in his word, it's in history. And each of us, if we look back at our lives, we can see that this is the case. So why, when we look into the future, do we think it would be any different? I don't think any of you here are able to tell the future. I know I've tried, and I've fallen short quite a few times. I've seen others try, and they've fallen short many a times too. I often see it when something bad's happening, like, say, the coronavirus. I have seen people stand up here and say, this is the end, this is the end. It wasn't the end. We're still here. We're still doing okay. Okay? So, the Lord is the only one we can put our trust in this. All too often, I see that when I complain, and when I see others complain, and even in the movies, they're complaining against the person who has a plan and has the idea on how to carry it out. They don't understand or can't see the picture, the big picture, nor do they have the experience that this man has. So they're complaining. They don't have the faith that he is able to carry it out. And quite too often, he does. Sometimes they don't. But when they do, the people that complained feel very, very ashamed that they didn't have faith. Turn with me to Galatians 5. This is probably, at the current moment, my favorite, and has been for a while, my favorite chapter in the Bible. If it was for freedom that Christ set us free, therefore keep standing firm and do not be subject again to the yoke of slavery. Behold, I, Paul, say to you that you have received circumcision. Christ will be of no benefit to you. And I testify again to every man who receives circumcision that he is under obligation to keep the whole law. You have been served from Christ, severed from Christ, you who are seeking to be justified by law. You have fallen from the grace. For we through the Spirit, by faith, are waiting for the hope of righteousness. Nolan talked today about how the Abraham and them were, you know, put in position and remembered because of their faith. Well, this is our faith that we have. For Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything but faith working through love. And we've heard that many times from this pulpit tonight and other times, that through love, serving one another, this is how we work out this perfect salvation, this perfect righteousness. When a person is looking into the past, he can become depressed. When a person is looking into the future, he can become anxious. And he can forget where he is. He cannot tell the future. He often complains. But when you are in the moment and you are looking for people to love and serve, then you can be at peace. Because you are doing what God has created you to do. Love one another in his perfect, perfect plan for you. Each one of us was created so that we would stumble and fall so a brother could be next to us and lift us up. It says in the scriptures that two men traveling together is good because if one falls, the other can lift him up. That's what the church is. We're traveling through time towards our Savior, towards the end, together, falling and helping each other up. This is our purpose in every moment.
That color right there is black. This is white. We know this because of their characteristics. If we go back to Proverbs 8, 35, 34 and 35, it says, "The righteous man, you will know him, and he will be mine. The sinner will be against me." We know that the righteous man is the characteristics because he bears fruits, the fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, self-control. I encourage you, brothers, to work on those spirits, bear those fruits for one another, and there fulfill your true purpose for the Lord Almighty. Thank you so much for your time.
Okay, we can go ahead and stand. We might be closer to the 10 gauge than I thought. All right, well, the theme was daily, so very cool. Appreciate the guys doing that. Always enjoy shotgun preaching. Let's go to the Lord in prayer in closing here. Dearly Father, Lord God, you are so good. You're the perfect Heavenly Father, you're merciful and patient, but you're also just and righteous. Lord, thank you that we have a Father who we can look to, who is perfect and just in all things and cares about us so much that that you're willing to tell us what we need to hear. You know, those conversations, those interactions can be difficult, Lord, as we consider our interactions with family members, kids, close friends, when you got to have that tough conversation, but you do it because you love them. Lord, you've given us lots of warnings, encouragements, told us to not deceive ourselves and to take heed, and one of those things you tell us is the things we ought to do daily. Thank you, Lord God, for the teaching from heaven, the reminder to seek your word daily, to be willing to die daily, to put others before ourselves, to be willing to, again, as all these things kind of culminate together, being willing to pick up our cross daily. As we remember that cross is the cross that you carried, Lord Jesus. As we saw your suffering through the scriptures, we can understand that we will carry our own burden as well. We each have our own burden to carry. Let's be willing to carry it every day. Let's not leave it behind and push it off to other people and make excuses, Lord. Lord, wisdom shouts from the streets. I'm thankful for the reminder from Proverbs that we are to seek your wisdom. You've given us of your word and of your spirit. And we can find wisdom, and it comes through the scriptures, because the scriptures come from heaven where you dwell. Lord God, thank you for these reminders. Thank you so much for your church, the people who are indwelt with your Holy Spirit all around the world. Really thankful for the congregation of believers in Billings, Montana. The opportunity is, as we get the opportunity to encourage one another and strengthen and help as we walk with one another, and just really thankful for that and for all those who are committed to the assemblies and to the studying of your word and to the labor of love. So, Lord God, thank you for your goodness and all of the goodness you've extended to us. Please be with us this week as we go out, that we would keep our minds set on the Spirit, not on the flesh. We would aim to be pleasing in your sight, Lord, and to carry out the will for which you have created us. We pray in the name of your Son, our King, Jesus Christ. Amen.